The 10th Mishnah, the first parak of Avos. Shemai v'avtalyo kivlu mehem, Shemai omer, ehoves ha-malacha usneas rabbonos v'atesvad l'rishos. Ehoves ha-malacha usneas rabbonos. A person should love the malacha and should hate or strongly dislike rabbonos, positions of authority. The Rabbeinu Yoni explains, ehoves ha-malacha, a person should not be idle, because batala mevia la'adam de shi'amum. Sitting idle brings a person to shi'amum, which is a form of mental illness. It drives you crazy, basically. So this concept of batala mevia de shi'amum is even mentioned in the context of the halachas, when it brings the minhagim of Chanukah, talks about those who had a minig not to do malacha on a Chanukah and says, that's terrible, of course you have to do malacha. You sit idle, it comes to shi'amum. It makes you crazy. You can't sit idle. So you gotta be busy. And ehoves ha-malacha is something you love. See, this is the problem that we have nowadays. We look at work as a four-letter word, and you do what you have to do and be done with it. Something you love, you do even if you don't have to. You do it because you love it. They once asked Sarah Shiva, like, what is he doing on vacation? Vacation? I learn on vacation. You learn? Says, well, I love learning. So why, I should not do what I love to do? Why would I stop learning if I love to learn? I mean, that makes sense. If you don't enjoy something, so you need a break, so you go on vacation. But if you love something, so where's the point of vacation? If a person loves to do chesed, so they're going to do chesed because they enjoy it. They love doing that. The Mishnah is saying, "Ehoves ha-malacha." You have to look at malacha in that context. Malacha is something you have to love, which makes you ponder when they have these work-saving devices. Are you supposed to get them or not supposed to get them?
Computers instead of writing
letters. I'm not going to say what they are.
What calendars?
Things that make your work time less. Things that you work less. Now, if you love something, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. You can bake a cake from scratch, or you could buy a Duncan Hines mix.
That's so much better than Duncan Hines.
If you love to bake, you're not going to use the Duncan Hines. In fact, you may not even eat Duncan Hines.
Is it?
You'll look down on Duncan Hines.
Or you're going to make five Duncan Hines instead of your one homemade cake. Is it bad
your one
if
cake
love
is,
to bake?
No, I'm listening to the muscle. If your person loves, listening to the muscle, if you love to bake, you're not going to use a Duncan Hines. If you don't love to bake, you will. Right? That's not my point. My point is when you love something, you don't look for shortcuts. In fact, you don't want a shortcut. Right? If you love to bake, you're not going to...
You say shortcut is affecting the quality. But if
the
shortcut doesn't affect the quality.
If the shortcut doesn't, then you use it because then you can do more things.
Okay.
In other words, when something's a time saver, like a can opener, you said, or a computer, I will use those things to save time because then I could do more. I could be more productive. So that's the benefit of something that saves time. Saves time to do what? To sit on the couch? Or save time to do more things?
Right.
If it's ehoves ha-malacha, the pshat is a person should begin to understand that this is important. There's a value in this. And therefore, now I'm not saying you should do avodas perach. We're not saying you should do mindless, useless work. No one is saying that. The Tana is not saying you should do that. The Tana is just saying the person should be accustomed to work and not think it's something bad. I remember my grandmother, Aleha Shalom, would say, if you're tired, don't sit down. You're working all day and you're exhausted. Don't sit down. Sit down, it's all over. Keep at it. Just keep at it. Just stand up. Do it on your feet. Work on your feet. Don't sit down. The minute you sit down, that's it.
Is talking about any type of work?
She was talking about housework, anything. In other words,
okay.
I mean, she was about learning. I was saying the idea is.
But the Mishnah is talking about like any
the
work.
The Mishnah is ehoves ha-malacha.
Right?
A person should love malacha. Again, the Rabbi Yonah says it because batala mevia. So it's referring to activity versus inactivity. Activity is better than inactivity. A person should be involved, engaged, doing. Now, You could argue that there is mental malacha as opposed to physical malacha, which is fine. In other words, there's things that are, it's a different kind of work. It doesn't say you have to sweat, you know, so to speak, when you do malacha. In fact, you want to be medakdek, it doesn't say avoda, it says malacha. We usually differentiate that malacha is more cerebral and avoda is more physical. And they know that all the studies are out there that elderly people who are busy playing Sudoku and Scrabble, their minds are much sharper.
That's considered malacha?
I'm saying if malacha is cerebral, if malacha is using your brains, right, have us a malacha. Again, that's what we say in Shabbos, that the malachas so are not avoda. Avoda is physical labor. Malacha is more intellectual pursuits, craft, skills. So you can say that too. And again, that's not batala. Again, the opposite is batala. So a person being idle is not healthy. Now, the Chazal are telling us it's a mental illness, so to speak. It is certainly emotional. I came across an article many years ago of this fellow who is enormously wealthy. He inherited a huge, whatever, Yerusha, all his companies. He didn't have to work in data stuff. And he spent his summers in Switzerland and his winter skiing in Colorado. And that, his whole, it was a 12-month-a-year vacation. Every month, the best place to be, you know, that's what he was doing his whole life. And he was absolutely, totally miserable. He was a very unhappy person. So he's going to his therapist, and the therapist asks him, what do you enjoy doing? Of all the things you do, all he does is recreation. Which recreation do you like a lot? He says he likes bicycling. So the therapist told him, open a bicycle shop. Open a bicycle shop. And he did. He didn't need the money. He didn't do it for parnasa. He had plenty of parnasa. He could lose money on the bicycle shop, it would make a difference. He found himself much happier. He went to work. He took his vacations, but he had a place to go, something to do, help people with their bicycles, and whatever it is. And he his whole attitude became better. He became a happier person. You know, I can't tell you all the dynamics of the story because I'm not a psychologist, but if batola mevio de shiamum, you just can't sit around. It's only so long you can vacation before you go out of your mind. So we call it being stir crazy. We have other terms for it, but basically it's this concept of we shouldn't be bottled. We shouldn't be sitting idle. Now, if a person is a person who learns Torah and he can stay in one place day in and day out and learn, he won't feel idle and he won't go stir crazy because he's accomplishing and so on. But whatever it is, whether it's for women who whatever their pursuits are or for men in their pursuits. Being idle in and of itself is not a goal. That doesn't mean there isn't a time to recharge your batteries and to go places and vacation. Even vacation isn't just sitting around. It's not just sitting on a chair all day.
On a roller coaster.
No. It's bicycling and it's hiking and it's all the other activities that you don't usually have time to do because you're busy doing other things. So it's finding time for the things you don't have time for. Maybe that would be the best way to describe vacation. But ultimately, it's not to be idle. Batola is not something that we encourage on any at any time, in any event. There's no place for that. And again, if it's Ehovas HaMalacha, then it means it's something that we pursue all the time. It's something that we want to do even if we don't have to do. And again, it doesn't mean mindless, purposeless work.
So this just means that you should love being busy, not love your specific work.
I believe that is correct. Okay. A person should enjoy being busy.
Okay.
And strive to be busy.
Okay.
And if you find yourself not busy, you have to
get yourself something
to do, call someone, find out something to do, as opposed to sitting around. Because sitting around is not going to be healthy. Now, the next line of the mission is Sineas Rabbanis. So literally it means that one should stay away from or dislike positions of authority. Rabbeinu Yonah says it really is connected to Ehavas HaMalacha. The Tana is saying a person should Ehavas HaMalacha, he should enjoy or love the activity, and he should Sineas HaRabbanis. It's the same thing, because he says that there are people who hesitate to be involved in certain activities because they feel that those activities are beneath them. I am too high for this job. I'm too whatever. This is beneath me. This is not for me. Not for somebody else. Not for me. I'm not the kind of person that's the kind of job. That's Rabbanus. That's looking at yourself in a heightened sense, putting yourself on a pedestal, and that's going to take away your ability to be Erevus HaMalacha. The Gemara says, Peshot Nevelta Beshuka, rather skin dead animals in the market than be unemployed. Skinning animals is a very menial job. It is not something that people do with college degrees. It's not something people are trained for in yeshivas. And some people would rather collect tzedakah checks than skin animals. And the Gemara is saying, no, rather skin the animals than have to rely on panosah for the tzibur. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying it in the context of erevus HaMalacha, sneas HaRabbanus. Don't feel that, well, I can't do this job, it's beneath me. And unfortunately, we find this, certainly you find it in the secular world, or people who got their degrees and their higher degrees, and then they're disinclined to take jobs that do not require their expertise. And for a certain degree, you feel for them. You know, they trained for this, they worked on this. Why should they take a job somewhere else?
So.
Right? But let's say you can't find work in your field. Let's say the market is flooded in the field that you have chosen. So you could look to leave and go someplace else, or you could say, I'll do something else. And a lot of people today are doing something else. And in fact, in the current job market, being what it is, there are many people who are working at jobs that are beneath their training. It makes it harder for the people who are less than that, who until now could find these jobs, now they can't, because they're being taken by people with higher level education, even though the job may in itself not require that. You find this also in Kollel. There are people who will not leave Kollel because I spent this many years in Kollel and have this many smichas, and why should I take a job as a second grade Rebbe? I should get a job as a Rosh Hashiva, and if not Rosh Hashiva, at least Beis Medrash, and if not Beis Medrash, at least high school. But there's no way I'm going to teach third grade. Now, he may not be a good third grade Rebbe anyway. I'm not saying everyone is cut out to teach second or third grade. You have to be suited for the job. But the point is, the Sineas HaRabbanus, this idea that, well, I am of this position and this caliber, and therefore this job is beneath me, is the same problem you find in Kodesh. The same way you find in the secular world, you'll find in Kodesh that people are unwilling to move on to something they feel is beneath their station. And it works that way also to get a job in the world outside of Kodesh. I spent this many years in Kollel. Why should I get a job working for Moshe Shapiro? And other people realize there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Comes a point. You have to support your family. Peshut nevelta b'shuka, rather skin animals in the market than have to be a burden on society. And if you are offered a job, so you take the job and you will do something, and don't worry about the fact that you spent this many years learning.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's not going to make you feel good then.
Well, as far as making you feel good or not feel good, it's a very important point. We talk about this at the end of Sefer Shoftim, when we learn the story of Pesel Micha, and Micha has a missionary, a whole organization, and a hostel, and people could stay by him, and eat by him, sleep by him, and he has Avodah Zarah there, and he's looking for a priest to run his organization, and he comes across a wonderful candidate who's a Levi, and he's excited to have him, and the Levi was down and out on his luck, he had no work. And Chazal say he could have plenty of jobs, but he felt it's beneath his dignity. So he'd rather be a minister for Avodah Zarah than do something else, not Avodah Zarah. And in modern times, there are many Talmidei yeshivas who chose to be rabbis in conservative congregations rather than do something else, because they had all these years of Talmudic training, and how can I do something else? So they went to the conservatives. And unfortunately, their grandchildren aren't Jewish anymore, a lot of them. Most of them. Their kids became conservative. They grew up conservative, and they're gone. There's nothing left of them. And it was because they were unwilling to step down, so to speak. There was a flood in the market. You know, there was a very limited number of yeshivas. Not all of them could get jobs in the yeshivas. And not all of them could get jobs as rabbanim. And so there were opportunities among the conservatives. They were paid very well. And they'd say, okay, I'll be from, and I'll just, you know, I'll take my paycheck from them. To me, it's the story of Pesach Michal all over again. It's people who were unwilling to take a job in their mind beneath them, and therefore went ahead and ministered to Avodah Zarah or ministered to conservative, because they felt that was more up their alley and more honorable and more mechubedek. And that's what the Mishnah is saying, Sneas Rabbanis. You can't look at it that way. Erbes HaMalachos, Sneas Rabbanis, a person should not be disinclined to take certain jobs because of the fact that he feels he's above it. Now, as far as liking yourself and not liking yourself, that really goes into a principle. So, is the person what he does, or is the person? And it happens to be he does something to support his family. A lot of people believe. They are what they do, and it's wrong. It really is wrong.
In most American society.
It ends up happening, though. If you end up working from 8 to 5, and you hate it, and you just become that.
And if you love it, you also become that. The problem is, why are you becoming that?
So you are what you
I am who I am. I happen to be, I do this.
It all depends on what makes my focus is.
Well, what you do makes
exactly.
Your job is the only...
So if my focus is... that I daven and I learn and I do mitzvahs. It happens to be 8 hours a day I work as a computer programmer. It happens to be a day. It happens to be that 3 hours a day I teach in Beis Yaakov. That means I'm a Beis Yaakov teacher.
Yeah.
I don't look at myself that way. I teach in Beis Yaakov. I know people who do, by the way. I've met people who become what they do. And it's not healthy for them.
Not that you come up, not that you
it really is not healthy.
Yes, yeah, you enjoy teaching yourself.
Why is it not healthy? Because
they
don't realize their chashivas. There's no chashivas to them serving Hashem.
Right.
You're davening, you're learning. If a person is a second grade Rebbe, he spent 8 years in Kolo and he's a second grade Rebbe. He could be a Rosh Hashiva in someplace else, but he can't get a job, so he's a second grade Rebbe. He is a second grade Rebbe, or he is a tremendous Talmud Chacham who spends his morning being Malam Metina because of
his Rabbi. And just like he davens and he learns, he teaches. That's all.
It happens to be that I teach to support my family.
No, but that's also
something.
Not just. Why can't
that
be something
that
brings
you
who you are?
Why?
Not like you're a teacher.
It doesn't make you like
that. It makes your emotion and attitude.
I once met it.
If you have a good job and you enjoy work,
if
you're happy.
I teach, it makes me who I am.
No, if you enjoy what you do, it makes you
who you
are.
I haven't defined you as a whatever, a teacher, I know this, but what you do, it makes you who you are.
If you spend 8 out of 16 hours to be doing
the problem is, it's not fair, my personal example. It really is not fair. Because I'm a shul and I'm a rav, so it's easy for me to say that I'm a rav and I have to teach basic Yaakov. If I would do nothing but teach Beis Yaakov and learn, like some people we know, then I still don't think they're Beis Yaakov teachers.
Yeah.
These are tremendous. I mean, they're how much money you spend a few hours in the morning teaching Beis Yaakov?
Why is teaching?
I agree.
Also good.
It's kavaldic, but it's not who they are.
No, it's not teachers.
Because
job. You're helping
people.
You're teaching people.
It's wonderful.
Like,
it is amazing, but it's not who they are.
But if they don't,
they're much more amazing than that.
But if they don't.
It's not a question of meaningful. It's very meaningful. It's very meaningful.
What could be better than teaching someone?
Oh, no. It's not
really.
It's just this much part of it. It's not like your whole self.
Listen.
You're
the Ribbono Shel Olam is a Malamed Am Yisrael. Being Malamed is Gevaldik. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a Malamed. It can't be better than a Malamed. Right? But Hashem isn't a Malamed. In other words, that doesn't define Hashem, does it? Hashem is Hashem, and Hashem, one of the things Hashem does is be Malamed, right?
No,
it's a Gevaldik thing to be Malamed. It's a tremendous zechus to be Malamed.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problems with that. The point I'm making is, that doesn't necessarily define the person.
No,
but if you don't enjoy what you do, it will define you.
Right.
If someone asked me to define a brilliant Talmud Chacham, I wouldn't say he's a Beis Yaakov teacher. I would say he's a brilliant Talmud Chacham who happens to be teaching Beis Yaakov.
Right.
Okay, but let's say a person had multiple jobs.
a teacher, a great daminer, a father, a husband.
Let's say a person had a few jobs, multiple jobs, and they're going to have an identity crisis.
Multiple personality disorder syndrome.
I feel like everything you do should be who you are.
Why?
No, that's not
because
curious.
What are we if not our actions?
Here's your question. Someone who goes into computer graphics, a graphic designer, they are a graphic designer?
No.
They're a mother, they're a wife, they're a boss of soul, they teach their kids. And how does it be? They earn money by being a graphic designer. Doesn't mean they are a graphic designer.
But, okay, for example, me, I'm a graphic designer. I'm a creator. I'm a person that influences thoughts. Like, there is some... Everything you do has some benefit as a person if you look at it the right way.
Hopefully, if you do the right things.
So, I could be a graphic... Part of me is a graphic designer.
Part of you is. Once you say part of you, now that you could say, well, I'm multifaceted.
Right.
It could be a very small part of me. All right, so fine. So you could say that everyone is, to a small degree, what they do. But question, is that the dominant thing or the... That's my question. Now, tell me something years ago. When you meet somebody for the first time, do you ask them, and what do you do for a living? Or is that the wrong thing to say? Because what difference does it make? In other words, why is that a question that's the first three things we ask? Are you visiting? Are you from here? And what do you do? Why are we asking that?
Because you're trying to have a conversation. Nothing more than that.
Exactly.
No, we're trying to define the person. If he says, I'm a doctor, a dentist, ooh, not dentist. And if he says, I'm a...
But it does define people. Exactly that.
Why?
Because he spends so much time doing it. But
my question is, are we misappropriate? Are we giving the wrong designation to people because of this? Are we misjudging people because of this?
Yeah, probably. I mean,
if a woman runs a gun, she wants a daycare center.
Yeah.
We probably will not give her the same respect as someone who's a surgeon. The daycare center lady may be brilliant. She may be a genius.
Mm-hmm, right.
It's no reflection of her smarts. It may be a reflection of her income. Maybe not. But it's not. It's a plumber. People like to look down on plumbers. Plumbers make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, but my thing is that if you get a job, if you go to a lower job than what you really experience for, right?
I'm not saying you're lower.
No, but I'm saying if
you're overqualified.
Right, if you're overqualified and you don't feel good about yourself every day, like you don't like it, or even if you are qualified and you don't enjoy it, and spend 8 hours a day doing something you don't enjoy, you will become a graphic designer or you graphic
artist. You'll become unhappy.
But you will become an unhappy person.
That's
right.
Fine. So that's true of anything.
Will change you.
Do you know that there's a secretary here in this building who's a nurse?
Who?
Nurse. She's a registered nurse. She prefers to be a secretary than being a registered nurse.
That's good.
Wow.
I don't think she looks down on herself. This is what she wants to do. You know that?
Who?
Yeah, man.
Uh-huh. Really? Uh-huh. She's registered in America?
Upstairs.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Wait, 50 miles.
Oh my God.
If I'm not mistaken, she's registered nurse. There are plenty more like that. I meet women in the show. This one's a podiatrist. I never knew. She's a housewife. She's a mother. She takes care of her kids. She doesn't practice. This one's a this, this one's a that. These other these women, they have degrees, they have this. But that's not who they are.
Right.
You know, there's a very... I keep learning more about the people in the community. I don't think of them as this one is a dental hygienist and this was... That's not who they are. They are much more than that. That happens to me. If you are, they do it. Now, you could say there's a difference if someone makes a career out of a profession or those who... they work part-time, they make some money, help the family. You maybe can make that distinction, that someone who, we call it a career, that means this dominates. There's someone who can have a problem with her. You know, her career has definitely pushed out her family. Her job comes before anything. Comes before her kids, comes before anything. There are people like that, and they are that, you know. They are what that is. And I don't think that's the ideal. I don't think that's what the time meant in Eves HaMalacha. I think that's what it meant to Mr. Sreya Sabonis. Yes.
But then, let's say the parent is working and that comes first, but then the kids complain, but then to their defense is, well, do you want food on your table? You know?
But it's beyond food.
Yeah, it's beyond food. It's
sometimes it transcends that.
Right, but you have to make a living also.
The pshat's like this. This person is in a field where they can work part-time, and they'll put in their hours, and they'll make enough to help the family, or they can work full-time and head the department and be a leadership position, be... That's where you have to make these decisions. Is this what I want? And once you're in the management role, you don't have time for your kids. You don't, yeah, that, you're not raising your kids. Someone else is raising your kids. You're married to your job. So that's really the trade-off. There are people who prefer to be in that higher position, and others just say, I'm not interested in that. That's not what I want. I'll be happy to work part-time. I'll be happy to be... There's a woman I know, she's an aide in preschool, not here, different city. She chooses. She could be a Gavaldi teacher. She doesn't want to put the time into it. She has other things that are more important in her life. She wants to be busy, have some halacha. This is fine for her. She is smart enough to do more than this. This is not her scope. You know, people say it's a biggest shame. You go to school, you go to seminary, you come back and be a teacher's aide in preschool. Well, you know, if you have higher aspirations and you could do more and you have an opportunity, so call it a vote. But if this one chose to do, she doesn't want more. She wants to spend time. She's a grandma. She spends time with my aunt and uncle. She doesn't want to be tied down to the schedule of a teacher. So she doesn't do it. She doesn't have to for Panos, and she doesn't do it. These are choices you make, and she's happy with it. She doesn't feel right. So it's all.
But you need that choice. But if you don't have a choice,
the question. No. My point is the question of choices. So the question is, what is your choice? And your choice becomes so it's all in your mind. So now it's in your mind.
Right.
So it's up to you to decide. So it's up to you to decide whether
in theory
I am defined by what I do or not. No. It is.
Not defined what you do or not, but whether you're happy with doing it or not.
Happy for sure is up to you. That's for sure whether you're happy or not is up to you. You're gonna find happiness except with yourself. That's the famous story. You can change your job, you can change your city, you can change your spouse, you can't change yourself. If you don't change yourself, you're not going to be happy. You know, if your unhappiness is with yourself, it doesn't help to keep changing everything around you. That's not going to do anything for you. So this is, again, I don't think it's a terrible perspective. It is in our society. I admit, it is in our society that we tend to define people by the things that they do, and we really shouldn't. We really should not. That should not be it. And I work on it. I meet new people many times, and I don't ask them, and what do you do for a living? And what do you do? I try to avoid it. Sometimes it comes up.
What is that? How is dabbing?
What? No, where you're farming, you're visiting, yeah. You know, whatever it is. There's other ways to make sure a person is accommodated, whatever it is. But to start asking, and what do you do, immediately is a thing. Now, there was a time, it says in Alexandria of Mitzrayim, when people davened in the big shul, they had sections in the shul. The sections were by work profession. So the tailors davened in one section, and the shoemakers davened in another section, and the leather was not, and they did it so people who were looking for employment knew where to go. Like, if you're in employment, you go to that section. If this is your apprentice, you go to that section. And the shul was divided by what they did. Now, it wasn't like different prizes for who said the loudest kaddish, you know? But the point was, they made it, the way I understood from the Chazal is it was a way for people to find employment. That if this is the type of work I do, this is
network.
Where I went. Exactly. This is the area of the shul to hang around. And
then
I,
the people who have like the higher job, you feel stupid if you're like the little schmazel job.
Well, it's not a schmazel. It's more apprenticeship. Like these were all trades.
They weren't like
it's crafts.
A lower job.
So it was all, everyone needed each other. Like,
I'm not sure there's higher level.
Everyone still needs each other, but we don't look at a garbage person with respect.
Right. This question is, like, we divide the shul. The lawyers sit here. The doctors sit there. The computer analysts sit there.
It's too many divisions.
Yeah, we don't do that.
It wouldn't work.
We do it more by country of origin. The Pilish of Stiebel, the Mir Minyan, Lakewood Minyan, you know, the Bar Park, they have these Minyanim like that.
Right.
Okay. It's a certain comfort zone, you know, certain air of comfort. But I just think this whole concept, Eves, Samalach, Nezabonis, these are things that we live with. And the question is how we look at ourselves, how do we look at other people. And it's true, our happiness may depend on it, but we have to be able to focus more on the essence of the person than on the peripherals. And if a person makes their job their essence, I think it's pretty sad. Now you may tell me if you're a teacher, that's what you should be. You know, I once met a second grade teacher, not again, not in the city. He would talk to adults like second graders. he was like playing his part all day. It was so ingrained in him that you're a second grader no matter who you are when he's talking to you.
I think professions like that, though.
Is it?
Waiters.
Is it?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Or those people talking to you like, wow.
You're a teacher, yeah.
Wow. Or like, what is the therapist? Or like, you could tell who was OT and you could tell who was the PT. Like, even like, just like different things that they look at, and like, you're like, oh my gosh, like what they notice. Yeah, because you are what you you become what you do. You do.
Okay,
you really do.
Well, come full circle.
So that's why no one likes to talk to psychologists because you think they're analyzing you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you feel like they are, right?
And sometimes they are.
Well, the psychologist and she'll say to me, don't worry, Rabbi, no one likes to talk to you either. They think you're judging them. There's a fascinating insight. I never thought about that. But to a certain degree, I'm sure he's right. Why is it that...
Because we become what we do. Thank you.
No, it's not going to do.
No, it's not
your
fault.
It's the other way around.
It's a part of it. And it really, it goes into you. It becomes a part of you.
I think so.
You can deny it all you want, but it does.
Of what you are. Everything in your... Like, every job has the ability to have something good. Like, you are helping people, so you should become a helper person.
But you can be a helper... Well, most people hopefully choose professions where you do help other people. Mm-hmm. Not every, but most. The only what used. I'll tell you what's changed. No, I'll tell you what. It used to be merchants were trying to help their customers, and they provided them with quality merchandise. That was good for them. Unfortunately, there's been a shift where people try to sell things that are really inferior quality, inferior health products, the food quality, all these things have become inferior over time. It used to be people were proud of what they sold. They felt they're helping this person by buying my product. It's a good product, it's healthy for you, it's good for you, it'll help you in the home, and so on. And you could believe in your product and believe in your thing, and it was. There are still some outfits that do that, but they're really, I think, very small.
Professions, you mean?
I'm talking about the business, not about business. I'm talking about buying and selling. Okay. Saying most things, I'm not saying all things are that way. I think most things, because when it comes to buying and selling with merchandise, a lot of things are inferior talking today. And right, that's the world we live in. Another point which can be made on this Mishnah, again, this goes beyond Rav Eder Yoino. When it comes to learning Torah, so Chaim Volozhin says this, and others say this as well, a person should love the malacha of Torah and not the rabbonus of Torah. Meaning to say, the Talmud is not telling someone to avoid going into the position of rabbonus. It's telling you that you should enjoy the malacha of it and not the rabbonus of it. Meaning to say, the learning, the teaching, the helping people. The rabbonus of it, sitting on a chair high up, people standing up for you, those are the things you should be selling. You should hate the trappings of authority or covet that comes with it. That's not good for you. Covet is not good for you. A person should be berech min hakovet. That doesn't mean a person shouldn't be engaged in the malacha of Torah and learning and teaching and helping people through that. That's what a person should love that. And you stay away from the trappings that come along with the job. Now, there are numerous stories of Gedal Yisrael who did whatever they could to avoid this element of Rabbonus. The Gemara describes how people would avoid walking in to make people stand up for them. They would come in from the front entrance and go around in a way that come in unobserved. Just try to hide themselves, basically, that they shouldn't be in a position where they are given honor. To Baruch Min HaKavod, literally. Yes?
Quick question about this, about standing up for them. So let's say, there's a scenario, okay? This Rav was there and sometimes, it happens that they'll say, they'll tell, they're coming in, their emotions and not to stand up, whatever. But on the other hand, how do you teach the kids that you are supposed to give them respect? Like, here you tell them to stand up for them,
This is like in a school setting?
Yeah, this is in a school setting.
In school, they have to stand up.
Okay. And
they shouldn't tell them to sit down. They have to stand up.
So should they ask them to say, be a teacher, so they wait by the door?
Yeah.
So every single girl stood up.
In elementary, middle school.
So they all stand up for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and wait there, and then if you didn't, then they would say something to you. Is that
appropriate?
Yeah, because
we've had
to
have
if you're teaching, listen, the teacher has to know for themselves. If they're doing it for themselves, it's wrong. If they're doing it to teach them to stand, that's fine. If you're doing it to teach them, it's fine. If you're doing it for yourself, it's not fine. The way I've heard from Reverend Bach, like Zoom saying, would always say, the teacher cannot demand their own covered. The other teacher has to demand for that teacher covered.
Right.
Each one could demand for the other one covered. But you can't demand for yourself covered. I have a very hard time with this. I don't believe in maybe mechanic. The kids should be mechanic at young ages. I don't think high school would be mechanic anymore. But there is something of being mechanic then, that they should have mechanic. That is something. But there comes a point that they have to say it's not for themselves. I don't know how you convey that.
But those teachers are also like, I'm not talking if you're talking because like it's below me to talk about you. Like, not like it's hard for me to teach, but like, you're teaching, it's like,
I'm not quite sure I understand what you mean.
Well, I can't counsel to get up there like, I'm not talking to everyone, it's totally quiet. It's totally covered, it's totally like,
it's covered, they want people to want to be heard.
No, it's covered because like the one person talking, they could still be heard.
So what's the problem?
Teachers, I'm going for that. Saying,
I have a hard time with that. What can I tell you?
No, it's like, okay, it's nice to point it out, but then at the point it's like,
so let me put it in a context, all right, ladies. Let me give you a context to this. If a person's only sense of self-respect comes from their needing other people to respect them, then they're going to be more machbet about these things. And to me, it always conveys an inner insecurity and a lack of confidence, and you know all that already. So therefore, it's counterproductive. So if you really want the covet, you can't do that. If someone's going to explain it to them, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to explain it to them or not going to explain it to them. But I'm just going to tell you a story getting back to standing up for people. So with all this idea of not trying to avoid the covet, which is what you're saying they're missing on their chinuch, but as far as trying to avoid the covet, so they say over a story that at one of the Aguda conventions, Rav Yankiv and Rav Shneir, Zecharon Levracha, were about to walk in. And Rav Shneir wanted to go in, let the front entrance come around, and no one should see the slide into his seat. And Rav Yankiv said, no, we're going to walk in the main entrance. Everyone's going to stand up for us. And Shneir says, why are we doing that? Rav Yankiv wasn't in sin covered either. Mm-hmm. He said, our wives are here. They always see how we're abused and we don't have time and we're always busy. Let them see. They'll feel good when people stand up for us. And he walked in the main door and everyone stood up, not because he needed it and not because Rav Shneir needed it. He felt their wives needed it. They needed to see it. That's something. That's godless. But that's not the teacher who's, you know.
To some extent, like, people do have to demand covered to teach, no? Like, what do you do if there's no other teacher around?
What does that mean, to demand covered?
It's good. You have to give teach them to be respectful.
What does that mean, you have to demand covered?
Does a person need covered?
No.
Not at all?
You have to know how to give covered.
You respect.
You have to know how to give covered. Should be Bereach Men HaKavod. Now, you have to love yourself. That you need. But covered?
So covered. You can love yourself without anyone at all giving you any covered at all?
Did Ari Levine need covered?
Before he reached that point,
he was a really great person.
He never needed covered.
The ideal person shouldn't need covered. But the most normal people need covered. To a certain extent,
I mean,
yeah. To be walked by being trash.
Self-respect is not the same as covered.
No, but in order to get self-respect, the exterior respect helps.
Right, like if a child is never given...
If someone is disrespectful to me, that doesn't diminish who I am.
But if everyone
and therefore,
is
I don't need
you,
that.
Well, your self-respect will go down.
You don't need it, but sure.
That me is not me, it's all of us me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you have to tell the kids that's not their hurts. It's not their hurts. It's not how you talk.
No, I mean,
it's not what you do, it's not what you say.
For a child to never receive any cuddling, how will they garner self-respect for themselves?
I don't think I've ever seen this in a sefer, but I heard this many years ago. There are three yetzer haras that we have to fight in our lifetime. When we're young, it's kavod. Little children demand. How many kids cry and sit under the table because they're not sitting in the seat on Shabbos? They want to sit in at the table. You see that? The Shabbos seats, who sits where at the Shabbos table?
Okay.
If the kid doesn't get the seat where they want to sit in, they make a whole rash.
That's covered?
Of course it's covered. That's not covered? What is it?
They want the best seat.
That's covered. Children covered? Demand covered, yes. Children want covered. They get older, the taiva is, it's a taiva for noshim, anoshim, boys, girls. You get older, it's money. And the Rebbeim used to say to us, everything I used to do before, the Rebbeim used to say to us, it's too late for us to deal with your taiva for girls and boys. It's you're already in it, we can't train you. Right now is the training ground for money. When you're not working yet, you're 16, 17, 18, 19, work on taiva's mamon so that when you're in the ropes, you're not going to cheat and steal and embezzle because of taiva's mamon. When you get older, it goes back to taiva's kavod.
Right.
I've heard from people, they say to me, my father comes to older people, that their father who's in the evening comes to shul, please go over and say hello. I said hello yesterday. No, every day he needs someone. If he didn't, he comes home and says, he didn't say hello to me. He didn't give me shalom. No one thinks that they did anything wrong because they gave him shalom on Shabbos. Every time you see him, you have to go over and give him shalom. It's nice to see you. And he appreciates it every time. So why shouldn't I go over? I just never knew that it makes a difference. But it does. There's a taivas cover that comes in your older years. Mm-hmm. That you can work on that too, younger. So it starts with taivas covered, taivas isha, taivas mammon, and goes back to taivas covered. So does a child need covered? Yeah, to a certain degree, he is yearning for that. And he's not in a place that he can learn to control it. But eventually, you got to learn to prepare for the later years. That you shouldn't be stuck in that. So I think that's all part of Sneas Rabbanus. Sneas Rabbanus is, it's called Kavod Hamaduma. It's the imaginary kavod. It's not real. It's imagined. And ultimately, a lot of it has to do with, you know, when you're in the workplace, as do husbands and wives, will a wife look down on her husband and make comments? He's such a shmata, look what they make you do. That's not going to help him. It's not going to help him at work. If she makes comments like that, a lot of it depends on the two of them. She said, it's great. I don't, you know, it's wonderful what you're doing. If you can do anything, encouragement. You know, that's not who the person is. Again, a lot of it has to do with the people around you, and your spouse probably the top of the list, and maybe your kids after that. But it's all really the essence of a person doesn't have to be what he's doing for Parnassah. And if it's a lofty thing, maybe Taki right. Maybe that is a very chashuv thing, and it should be. Well, but then that teaching or whatever it is, you know, that comes a part of you, if that's a chashuv thing. I could hear that too. But ultimately, the Tana is trying to strive to tell us the idea of the Torah concept of work ethic. This is something you should want, always want, love to do it, be involved, be engaged, be busy. And don't let the imaginary covet interfere. Don't let that get in the way of you doing chasadim, of doing things that, I can't do that chesed. You can't think like that with jobs, chesed, other things like that. It should not be beneath you. You know, in our community, we're blessed with some very, very wealthy people who do very menial jobs in their shuls. They'll clear the tables, they'll help set. They don't have anything like that. They don't put things beneath them. Marvin Belinova Shalom, he was always busy setting the table for the kiddush, clearing up afterwards. He didn't say, I could hire 10 people to do it, that I won't notice it. No, he did it himself. And a lot of the wealthy people in the community also, it's different than other communities. They don't live in houses that stand out. Right. It's very unusual. Mm-hmm. It's very unusual. But other communities, people who have the money live in these very noticeably different houses. Not in our community. So that's all, I think, part of the Sineas Rabbanus aspect.
Is it because they already have the kavod that they feel so good about themselves that they can do that? Like, if you...
It's, again, it, you could just say, yeah, you are comfortable with yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're comfortable with yourself, it doesn't make me less. It doesn't make me less.
Everyone's definition of working hard is different. I see, like some, for one person, like stretching it.
So we're saying it means keep busy. Being busy. Don't be idle. That's the insight. Don't be idle. Being idle is not good. And there are many different.
Idle is different also, but okay.
Batalo. It's bottle.
Yeah, for us
to run a
place, dope body is batalo, but for maybe a 90-year-old, it's not.
Right.
Okay. I could hear that. But again, I wouldn't call it batalo either. If your mind is engaged, there are things people do that are mind numbing. I think it's called television. People go into a certain, they still measure the brain waves. They almost, I don't want to say it's too vegetable, but they change. Their whole brain works differently. It's not good.
What do you do if you have nothing to do?
You need something to do?
Come clean the
van. I'll give you suggestions. We can make a list. Things you should do when you have nothing to do. There's plenty of things to do, keep busy.
Like what?
Clean your
room?
Like, no, you have to clean your room. You don't have to clean your room.
Your job.
The job.
You can volunteer.
Where
though?
Full time?
No.
At the Beaumont.
Oh, that's at Beaumont.
It'll flood. It's walking in.
Yeah.
Old age homes. Feeding people can't feed themselves. Bikur Chom always needs people. Bikur Chom always needs people. Helping feed people can't feed themselves. Driving people to doctor's appointments. There's so many things we could do. You want to do Bikur Chom?
They're not that many.
You can become a chaplain. In our community, there are a lot of lady chaplains. In the hospitals.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sure. Lady chaplains for the hospitals. Absolutely. A lot of things you could do.
They have the
size speaker home.
There are not that many organizations in Detroit that you could volunteer in.
I'd say Bigger Home is one of them.
That's right. There are not that many, like, organizations.
Learning a skill.
I think if you put your mind to it, there are things you could do. But if you really have nothing in mind, we'll have a talk and come up with a list.